I'll talk a little bit about the chalkbrood and the stonebrood diseases of honeybees. I have just started PhD at the University of Copenhagen 8 months ago, so this is mostly just preliminary results, and any comments will be greatly appreciated. So group living has its benefits over the single life of an insect, and mostly it increases efficiency in foraging, also the brood care and the fence against predators. However, group living also has its drawbacks, mostly due to the easy spread of infectious diseases, and this has been of course correlated with the crowded living conditions, as well as closely related nest mates, which might have a same susceptibility to similar diseases. Of course, social insects have developed anti-parasite defenses, and they are mostly based on the collective actions or on the altruistic behavior of single individuals. And some examples are social behavior in honeybees, for example, social fever, also grooming behavior and hygienic behavior that we heard about previously. All of this actually leads to reduction in spread of diseases, as well as just persistence of the disease in the colony. So diseases in honeybees, here I have listed some of the brood diseases, and they are very diverse. Honeybees have one of the most diverse pathogens of all social insects. We have bacterial diseases, of which one of the most common is American fall brood. Some viral diseases that are often transmitted by the varroa mites, as well as fungal diseases such as chalkbrood and stonebrood that I'm actually interested in my studies. Ascosphaera apis is a causative agent of chalkbrood. It's a fungus that has positive and negative strain, so only when the two strains are present, there will be production of the spores. These spores are produced in a black cyst, and they are released later, and they are ingested by the larvae. So upon ingestion, the spores germinate inside the gut, and they invade the tissue of the larvae. The mycelium basically penetrates outside, and it looks somewhat like on this photo right here. The white mummies are visible in the cones. and we also have in our laboratory, we have positive and negative strains of these fungi, so we can actually produce these spores, which can then be used in laboratory experiments, and we can infect the larvae. The second pathogen I like to look into is Aspergillus flavus, which is a stonebrood. This is an opportunistic pathogen. It's highly diverse, and it's not commonly found in the beehives. Both larvae and pupae are susceptible, and the disease causes mummification of affected brood, and also the larvae don't look, they look dark and very hard in comparison to the chalkbrood infected larva. So the focus of my research is really to investigate some of the dosage responses between the two diseases, also the possible temperature effect on the severity of the disease, and the progress of combined infection of chalkbrood and stonebrood. My general experimental protocol is I use second instar larvae, which I graft from the apiary right behind the university, right in the center of Copenhagen, which is kind of convenient. I use 48 well plates. Rear these larvae at 34 degrees Celsius, and I feed them daily royal jelly mixture with sucrose and fructose. So I infect them usually once they are 13 stars, so after 24 hours after I graft them, I infect them with these funguses, the spores. I use several different dosages that you see right here. And I use total of 350 larvae from three hives. Everything is repeated three times. There are two species of fungi and two temperatures. So one temperature I keep at 34 degrees Celsius. And then the half of the experiment, I drop the temperature at day two to 27 degrees for 24 hours, and then I bring it back up to 34 degrees Celsius. So some of the results I have observed is that, for example, chalkbrood mycelium is present and often at day four, and this is for both temperatures. And for stonebrood, I have observed the mycelium as early as 2 days post inoculation, which was to me somewhat surprising. When I looked at the dosage response, so we have on the x-axis is dose, y-axis is percent infected, left one is the chalkbrood and the right-hand side is the stonebrood. And so lethal dosage of 50% of the larvae dying with Ascosphaera was 1,000 spores per milliliter in my experiments, and for Aspergillus it was much less, it was only 5,000 spores per milliliter in order to kill 50% of the larvae. So not only does the Aspergillus kill faster, but it also kills with less amount of spores. When I looked at the temperature, this is just the data showing day 5 using 5,000 spores per milliliter, and there is a proportion of surviving larvae on the y-axis, and x-axis we see the different fungi. The only significant effect I observed was actually for the Aspergillus, not for Ascosphaera, which was of course surprising because we all have read a lot of papers where chalkbrood is always present once the larvae are stressed with temperature. The third experiment I did was look at this mixed infection and possible competition of the two diseases. So I had 48 larvae were used per treatment. They were so I used a lethal dosage of 50% for both fungi, and then I used a mix of the two. And of course I had a control. And I repeated everything three times, and I did this only with 34 degrees Celsius. I kind of ran out of time, the winter sneaked in this year soon in Denmark. So this is just showing proportion of surviving larvae. I'm sure you see in red that my control, I had a relatively high mortality of larvae dying, not from the disease, but I believe this is connected to the fact that I was running these experiments late in the season. So this is something that will be repeated next year. But there was no significant difference between the mixed infection and any of the single infections of the fungi. However, when I looked at the data a little bit differently, looking at the proportion of affected larvae, we see that, for example, in the pink, it's Ascosphaera apis, seems to be a little bit less aggressive than Aspergillus, and Aspergillus seems to be doing just is aggressive as much as it is with the presence of Ascosphaera. But these were not significant results. So just to summarize, Aspergillus kills faster with smaller concentration of spores. This can be explained by the fact that Aspergillus produces toxins, so less spores, and of course then it would kill more larvae if it does produce toxins. Also, we've seen the temperature effect on the survival only for Aspergillus. This is something that I will definitely look into, make sure that this is a right result. And as I said, the mixture of the two fungi did not have any, did not show any competition or synergistic effect among the two pathogens. And to me, this was a bit surprising. I was expecting to perhaps see then chalkbrood more often in the hives than we do, if it is in fact more pathogenic than chalkbrood. So it's definitely something that I'll look into in the future. And I would just like to thank these people, and I'll answer any questions you have.
We have time for questions.
I have two questions. One is, were you varying the humidity at all? What was your
humidity? No, I did not control for the humidity.
And in Arizona, we have to do that.
They have a worker larvae.
And have you looked at
not me, a colleague of mine is looking into that.